How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave Dufour and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information that the public doesn't.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave Dufour here with Keith Parrish for your weekend update. Coming up, Keith, somebody's got to break up the Magic and the Knicks. They won't lose. We've got Morant Gate in Oklahoma City. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. Keith, the Orlando Magic went to Boston for the weekend. They were 1-11 on the road when they arrived in Boston on Friday. They're leaving 3-11 on the road. They won Friday night with Jason Tatum out there. And then, you know, I'm thinking Sunday, early afternoon, Boston game. There's no way the Orlando Magic are picking up another win. Paolo Banchero begs to differ. 31 points. Admiral Schofield, he's in the first line of the game recap, Keith. This was a monumental moment for him. He had 11 points in the fourth quarter, and the Orlando Magic pick up an unlikely back-to-back victory, road victories, over the Boston Celtics, who we had all decided a week ago were finals favorites. We thought by now they got Al Horford back, they got Rob Williams back, they would start rolling again. Keith, we got to do something about Orlando.
The Celtics haven't won with Robert Williams in the lineup. That's as everyone predicted. No, you made me giggle. You made me chuckle earlier. I thought you were going to throw out some. The Magic have won 6 straight games, and you went with the Magic improved to 3-11 on the road. No, I like it. On the unexpected, it makes life worth living. No, the Magic are good suddenly, or they're fun. They're playing well. They're beating legitimate, like, teams. They're beating the other Eastern Conference playoff teams that we assume. Like, they took care of the Raptors, they took care of the Hawks, and then, like, they beat the Celtics on Friday night, and you think, well, you're not going to surprise the Celtics in this next game because you've won 5 straight now, and you beat them on your home court. And we've seen in the very short time frame where the NBA has done these back-to-back, these two-game series, usually it's a split. Usually the team that loses the first one comes out and takes care of business in the second one. No, man, you got to break up the Magic, like you said. They're playing really, really well. Banchero's awesome. I think, you know, everyone's talking about Bol Bol, one of the most entertaining, exciting players, young players in the league. I don't think the Magic, the key to it, it's not Bol Bol. I think it's Wagner. I think they unleashed the power of the brothers, letting Mo Wagner play these heavy minutes. Now you got Franz and Mo playing together. And suddenly, again, this team is playing really, I want to say surprisingly. I don't mean that as an insult, but I am surprised they have won 6 straight.
Well, they're extremely young, right? So we know that they are going to be bad. But when you can roll a starting lineup out that has 4 guys that is 6'10", multiple ball handlers, like, this is sort of where we all envision the league heading. There was a funny quote that Paolo Banchero had about Bol Bol and Victor Wembanyama. The truth is, there's a little bit of truth to that because Bol does a lot of the same things. And, you know, this is what it looks like when a guy gets a chance to develop and grow and also be healthy. But this is a John Hammond fever dream, like, playing out in real life. And Keith, it's exciting. They're doing it. It's a team effort. They had 5 players in double digits. And on the other hand, for Boston, they were missing Jason Tatum on Sunday, and it just kind of highlighted that they lack depth outside. They've got Robert Williams, and they've got Al Horford back, but they're still lacking some depth there.
Well, I heard early in the year they were praised for depth, and it's one of those things where, like, all right, when Sam Hauser's hitting shots, you feel like you have depth. But don't mistake just the role players coming and making their shots as actual depth. And you see in this one where, like, Derek White's been off for a few games, and that's how the Celtics end up losing 4 out of 5. And the 3-pointers overall as a team aren't going in. You go in through one of these shooting slumps with the number of threes they take per game, if you only make whatever it was, 12 out of 47, that's going to be, it's going to be hard to overcome. And then the other side of the basketball, you have this young Magic team that is these, it's all limbs. It's all 6'9" guys. And my estimation of this Magic team in the preseason was like, all right, they have a fun front court, but what are they going to get from their guards? And I don't know if it's going to work. Like, if Jonathan Isaac ever comes back, but still having like Franz Wagner and Ben Caro and Wendell Carter Jr., who hasn't been playing, opening up the time for Mo Wagner, like who's going to dribble the basketball and do things? And recently it's been the return of Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz. And suddenly they do have a few different options, a few different ways to play basketball. And because of that, they strung together these wins.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, we can make jokes about Toronto and how they've kind of tried to do this with guys who are 6'7", 6'8". Just aim a little higher. That's all you got to do, Toronto. 6'10", 6'11", and apparently it can work. Keith, we got to break up the Knicks. They won't lose. They pick up another victory on Sunday on the road against the Pacers. Jalen Brunson continues his excellent season. This guy's an all-star to me. Jalen Brunson had 30 points on Sunday. Julius Randle hit 6 free throws in the final minute, Keith. He feasted at the line today, 9 of 12 from the free throw line, 25 points, 14 rebounds. I think that we can place this winning streak at the feet of those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, Randle in the 7-game win streak is averaging 26.7 points per game. This is the Randle that signed that contract. This is what Knicks fans hope for. And this, honestly, what's happened during this win streak, I feel like is the realization of what they dreamed. They thought Brunson could come in and be that 20-point scorer as a point guard, provide some stability to the backcourt. The defense is back again. They're defending. They're guarding people. They're holding their opponents to bad shooting nights, low point totals. And not just Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle, RJ Barrett is playing incredibly well. And all of a sudden you have, hey, this is the vision. We wanted Brunson, Barrett, and Randle to play together. And then you have guys like Quentin Grimes and Emmanuel Quickly actually doing this stuff. Mitchell Robinson is playing. He's played in 7 straight games, Dave. He's played 29 minutes a game for 7 straight games. That's an achievement for Mitchell Robinson. And so suddenly we're seeing this is what I think best case scenario was thought of for the Knicks, and it's coming to fruition. And again, they're one of a few teams right now in this East that is just really coming together.
Yeah, when your top three guys can score 79 points and you only hit 8 threes, they were 8 of 26 in this game. You know, the math did not work in their favor against the Pacers, but like you mentioned, they're actually defending, Keith. Thibodeau, he can coach
where,
the defense.
That's where Tibbs, you know, has obviously hung his hat for forever. But like last year, it was like, we were like, okay, was 2 seasons ago, was that 3-point shooting variance where opponents just couldn't make open threes? And then last year they were so listless and it was just like a depressing season. But they went out and did it. They cleared the space. They took a little bit of criticism for pursuing Jalen Brunson. But that's paying off. I mean, that's paying off. And it turns out it didn't cost that much to clear all that cap space. Thank you, Detroit Pistons. But like they got their guy. Meanwhile, I mean, the flip side is the Mavericks. Yeah. You let Jalen Brunson walk? Like, this guy's legit. Like you say, he's an all-star for you. Like, he's powering this Knicks team, which is just shooting up the standings.
Keith, we got to talk about Devin Booker. 58 points in a come-from-behind win for the Suns against the Pelicans. This rivalry just will not stop giving us moments. The Suns were down 24 points, Keith. 83-59 midway through the third. Devin Booker scores 20 points in the third. I went back after this game, Keith, and I rewatched every single Devin Booker shot. He was nuclear. It was incredible. They were sending doubles, Keith, and he was just driving into the double. Did not matter. They couldn't stop him no matter what they tried.
The context of this game with the previous matchups this season with the Pelicans beating the Suns twice in New Orleans in those consecutive games, with Zion Williamson having that punctuation 360 that was controversial, and then to have Devin Booker lead the Suns come storming back. DeAndre Ayton was unavailable. We know they've had been without Cam Johnson for so long. This team just stepping up and just Devin Booker being like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to score all these points in a row. I'm going to go for 58. I'm going to be on fire. to lead them back, to overcome the Pelicans, who, like, the Pelicans are good. They've had an awesome season so far. We're starting to see a couple cracks with some of the fun lineups. Like, if Zion Williamson and Larry Nance are your front court, will there be a rebound? Will anyone get a rebound? Like, clearing the defensive glass has been an issue for the Pelicans. But yeah, like, this game's Booker. This game's Booker being like, I'm that dude. And by the way, I'm going to go for 60 on the final play of the game, even though it's decided. How'd you feel about that, Dave?
I loved it, Keith, because if he had hit it, what is our rule?
Was it cool?
It would have been very cool.
It would have been cool. 61. That's the rule.
Yeah, exactly.
All unwritten rules in sports for me boil down to, well, was it cool? Okay, then he gets a pat. You get exceptions to the rule. If Zion dunking that 360 was objectively awesome, if Devin Booker, as a response to that Zion Williamson dunk, knocks down a three at the buzzer to win that, to put that game away, to go to 61 points, I mean, also, 60-point games live forever. And Booker hitting that, it would have been, I got to give it to him. It would have been cool. So it's okay in my book.
Devin Booker has had a legitimately incredible season. He's not going to be in the MVP race. It's just not going to happen for
him.
Why
not?
I just don't think he's going to.
Get your narratives right. Your narratives start right here. The Daily Ding Weekend Update. This is the show. You can start it right here. It's all you have to do. Jason Tatum's MVP campaign is over, okay? I'm just calling it. I'm starting the narrative with like 25, 27 games in. He was good. I'll start a new narrative. Devin Booker can score 50 whenever he wants. Just start saying that. I mean, he had 51 in three quarters. Yeah, and we were upset. I was upset. Like, hey, go for more, man. I know that 70-point game left a bad taste in some people's mouths. Have you actually watched it? It was barely a farce. That falls to the, was it cool? It was not cool. But however,
cool.
The argument is the 70-point game lives forever. So who knows?
That's right. He's got five games this season of at least 41 points. Two 50-point-plus games. I mean, this one was 58, obviously. But the thing about it, Keith, he does it efficiently. His 51-point game, 20 of 25. He was 21 of 35 in this game. 6 of 12 from 3, 10 of 15 from the line, which is a little low for him.
Well, that's where you lose it. Can you believe you missed 60 by 2 points, and Devin Booker, who's one of the best free throw shooters in the world, misses 5 of his free throws? That's wild.
Yeah, and I think he maybe just was a little bit worn out. I mean, 15 free throw attempts, that ties his season high, which he had in a 49-point game. That's a lot of free throws, Keith. There's a lot of weight on his shoulders. He was creating a lot in that game, but incredible, incredible game from Devin Booker, who has become one of my favorite players to watch. I mean, I don't isolate guys very often, but when you watch Devin Booker, I mean, I don't want to reference Kobe here too much, but man, whew, got some 06, 07 Kobe vibes, only on a good team.
Yeah, I'm glad you like him because he's still my sworn enemy.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Keith, we have to talk about what happened with Ja Morant in Oklahoma City over the weekend. The Thunder were facing the Grizzlies. It was the second night of a back-to-back for the Thunder. And my expectation was the Grizzlies, the best team in the West, they were going to come in and clean up. But Keith, it was a blowout at halftime. Now the game wound up being close.
Yeah, in the wrong way. It was a blowout in the wrong direction. You're right.
That's
The Grizzlies had won 7 straight. The Thunder had lost 5 straight. The Thunder don't have Shea, don't have Josh Giddey, and the Thunder are playing on the second night of a back-to-back. And just like we all anticipated, they were blowing the Grizzlies out.
And Ja Morant was ejected in the second quarter of this game, Keith. He managed to play 16 minutes. And personally, you know where I I stand on this. I think that a player being ejected should be a last resort thing. And it hopefully it's not over something he said, unless it was very, very vicious and vile and threatened violence or something like that. This seemed to be over an incident where he was kind of trash talking jovially with a Memphis Grizzly fan. It just seems like this could have been avoided, and all of these thousands of paying fans could have not been ripped off here if the referee would have just talked to Ja Morant instead of tossing him.
There's a couple of just weird parts of this, and I'm maybe too close to it to be objective as someone who covers the Grizzlies. The couple weird things are the same referee called both technical fouls, both happened very quickly together, and basically lots of people overheard the things that were said. So, like, Ja picks up his first technical foul. He's going up for an alley-oop. He feels like there's body contact, which causes him to hit his head on the backboard. You got to hate when that happens. And so then he says, you know, that's a foul, and uses profanity. Gets his first technical, which for me, that's kind of soft. Like, just saying it's like, I thought it was a foul. Anyway, he gets a technical there. Then, yes, he's talking to a fan from Oklahoma who is a Morant fan who says, let's go. And then this differs. Ja says, all he said was, I would go if I could get if I could get a whistle. And then that's basically what the other fan thought she heard, that he said something like, you know, if this ref would let me get going, I would do it. And so that's the second technical. And again, I understand how, like, it's not a seemly thing for a player to say. I understand where an official would be offended by that, but, like, does that cross the line in a technical foul? And I'm not arguing just because he was talking to a fan. You don't get a free pass. If you say something within earshot of the referee, you're still responsible for your words.
Yeah, but I don't think he was necessarily denigrating the referee or even questioning his integrity. I mean, listen, I've been in this position, Keith, as a coach, where I've actually said, come on, man, you got to give us a chance here. And
right.
That's essentially what it felt like Ja was trying to express. You got to give me a chance here. You got to give me these calls. And to his credit, man, Ja Morant drives more than any other player, gets into the paint more than any other player, and he finishes just as well as most bigs. Now, part of that is because he cheats every single time he's in the paint, but we don't care because it's, hey, but it's cool, so it's okay.
It's cool.
And so, you know, here I understand a player, but this is where, and I think it's funny because, you know, World Cup's final was today, which congratulations to Argentina and Lionel Messi, but in soccer, it seems like there's much more communication and almost coaching from the refs versus going straight to, you know, a red card or a yellow card even. And maybe the NBA could learn a little bit from soccer and just have a little bit more dialogue between these guys. And I know they talk a lot, but the initial reaction can't just be technical, you're out of here.
One, I would say, for me, what the final strangest thing of this is, and what makes it, I think, a bad look for the officials, it's weird when you throw out any player, let alone a superstar, when that player is smiling, when it's not a heated exchange, when it's not like, hey, this guy has lost his cool. This guy is running at the official. Clearly, we can't have that. This guy touched the referee. Clearly, we can't have that. This guy's just screaming at the official. You can't have that. When the player is laughing and smiling and joking and gets tossed, that looks weird. And I think it looks bad for the league. I think it looks bad for the officials. And maybe this is where my fandom has overcome my objectiveness. But I'm like, if the guy's smiling and laughing with the fan and the referee has his feelings hurt, like, that's not okay. And that's for me what was, like, the weirdest part of this. Like, dude, you just called a tech on him like 30 seconds ago. And, like, maybe let one of your partners throw him out if he's going to get thrown out. But, like, if the guy's smiling and under control and, like, not, you know, disrespecting the game with his antics, for me, it's like, what are we doing here? This is an entertainment league. Let the superstars play.
That's right, man. If you schedule a television show that I love, let's say an episode of Breaking Bad when it was in its heyday, and you don't have your main characters in it, I'm not going to watch, man. I'm going to change the channel. And so, you know, everybody needs to work together here. And maybe we need a mandatory cooling off period with technicals. I don't know how to do this, but we got to figure something out.
Give him a penalty box. I mean, give him a cool down box.
Technicals are out of control this season. I mean, we had there was a Warriors game a couple weeks or maybe a week ago, and it was just insane. We got to get the technicals under control. It's the worst part of the sport. And Keith, finally, we got to get the Brooklyn Nets under control because they won't lose either. 124-121, they beat the Pistons. All right, now the Pistons are bad. Kevin Durant had 43 points in this game.
Pistons are competitive, Dave. I'm sorry.
But they're a bad team. They compete okay, hard fair. And they play hard, but they're a bad team. Kevin Durant had 43 points in this game. Kyrie Irving had 38. Brooklyn's just good. They're 19-12.
Yeah, Brooklyn's really come around. The story of this one is Durant, 26 points in the third quarter. It's the most points he's ever had in a quarter in his NBA career, regular season or playoffs. But yeah, suddenly we have a bunch of teams in the East with these win streaks. I mean, Nets 6 straight, Knicks 7 straight, and of course the Magic 6 straight. But yeah, man, KD and Kyrie being good at basketball, who knew?
Yeah, just a normal, boring, good basketball team that they got up there in New York. Two of them now, Keith. How about that? That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. Keith, get out of here.
Ding, ding.